All right, Leaf fans. Sigh of relief. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne. Breathing the biggest sigh of all are Sammy McKee. Also, Derek Brandeo, Jake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours, including our Leaf Hour edition of our show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. The game, I think a lot of Leaf fans were waiting to see. An easy one. 60 minutes, never in doubt. Large margin of victory. Some cookie time for the big boys. This is the game that you said yesterday that you thought you might see. Yeah. And JB, full credit to you. That's exactly how it played out.
It was just nice to know that it's still in them, I think. There's a little run of hockey there where you're going, they're still like I know maybe they're not the elite team in the league, but like, we're sure they're not bad, right? You were just sending us the message the other day, like, they're going to make playoffs, right? It's like, okay. Really refreshing to see that all of the things we believe that are in the roster, all these good things, they are there. It all came together for a night at a time when they were pretty motivated. So, yeah, good feeling last night.
Yeah, I think there can be some conversations about the quality of competition. But at this point of the season where it has looked the way it has for the past couple weeks, you'll be take it against anybody. And this team is the team that blew a 2-0 lead to the San Jose Sharks in the third period during this stretch of hockey. So I don't think you can get too bent out of shape about any competition conversations.
Right.
A Toronto Maple Leaf team needed a victory, and they set the tone early and beat the brakes off the Flames.
They beat the brakes off.
Yeah, big assist to the schedule maker, because this is what the team needed, right? They've been pushed a little bit last week with the likes of Florida and Ottawa. It didn't fare well. Think about reversing just the two games this week.
Right. Like, had they played this game first?
Had they played Colorado last night and then Calgary Wednesday?
Yeah.
And if it wouldn't fare well against a Colorado, would Wednesday have even mattered so much? Like, it was exactly what the doctor ordered in terms of a team that has really depended on some incredible goaltending out of a rookie, but certainly doesn't look anywhere worthy now. I think they've lost three in a row, and maybe Wolf came down to earth a little bit last night, but doesn't. A Calgary team that doesn't look worthy of a potential playoff spot right now.
Yeah, curious to see how that plays out. They've been really burning the candle at both ends, and they just can't score. You know, they're 32nd in the NHL in goals for. You check a lot of the underlying stuff, it's no better. So can they find a way to produce offense? They need everyone, a couple of guys out of their lineup. So, yeah, it wasn't great on their end, but to Sam's point, you can only beat who you play.
And, yeah, you can't score, especially when the goal robber Jordan Bean and Sam Kim are
well-timed challenge.
Like, I mean, you got to feel for Morgan Frost, like in his, you know, this dad was the PA guy for the Leafs forever. He's in his hometown, probably has how many people there, how much money has he spent on those tickets? Puck falls on his stick in the slot, hammers at home, big celebration, and then Sam Kim and Jordan Bean, we're taking that away from you, buddy. And that was honestly like huge turning point in the game.
Huge.
Because if that stands.
Well, I don't know if.
I mean.
They're just no good last night. Calgary is no good.
But you don't think if that goal stands, it's a different result than we're sitting here talking about today?
Maybe. Maybe it's not quite.
Maybe it's 6-3 instead of 6-2?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Right. But right. I didn't see it. And regardless if it's pro for Toronto or against Toronto, like, nothing can just suck the life out of a game than just that and then waiting for the result. And I don't know, they got the GM meetings. I wonder if that comes up at all on, can we clean this thing up?
Yeah.
Expedite the process.
Something.
Maybe they can.
Something.
I don't know. I thought the big story for me is we've been talking about Matthews and Marner not looking great, about, you know, just all these things down the lineup are like not sure about. And I thought those guys came out and had a hockey game. You know, they I remember sitting there and it was 2-1 or 3-1. I forget when Matthews scored and going, it's a shame he doesn't have one tonight because he should have about five. Like, he had a ton of attempts and was all over it. So glad a couple went in.
All right, let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on the game, and then we'll zero in on two-goal performance by Austin Matthews.
Well, the effort in the first period was, I mean, just the urgency and the way we came out and played and shot pucks, and, you know, our attempts were way up and we were like right on top of them. You know, there was no room for them. So that was the key start of the game for us. Our power play was very good tonight, obviously, and our PK did a good job. So then those are, you know, big parts of the game. The challenge, you know, our video guys did a good job there. It was taking a little longer than I thought. They told me we were 110% sure. So, I don't know. It took a while.
So much pressure. If you're in the coach's ear and you tell him you're 110% sure it's coming back.
I don't know. Maybe I.
So much pressure as that's taken.
Maybe I missed the definitive angle,
they
but.
They must have had one.
Like,
the angle they kept showing on Amazon showed zilch.
Nothing. Zilch.
No, not one at thing. All.
Like,
no. What if we try showing you this same angle?
How about this one again? I was like, can we get the other side maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe they just must have had
I'm
something.
Like, they must have seen. Saw something. Yep. I think it bounced off of Lawton's skate that delayed it. Mm-hmm. And then pushed.
Good thing that happened for him.
But
hey, Lawton took a goal off the board with that one. It was, you know, he had the bad luck at the end of the game, but he also took one away there without knowing
this,
it.
This guy's like, I got a four-leaf clover on my chest, and I can't get a bounce? Like, it's bouncing in off me in a 6-1 game.
Poor out there, dude. He's stepping on rakes right now.
Oh, my God.
It'll come together for him.
Okay, Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did we see last night that we haven't seen over a very large stretch of hockey?
He had the puck a lot. You know, they were in the offensive zone. Yeah. I thought, you know, getting open, finding spots, and just seeing some ozone possession time. It's funny watching with the puck last night being like, he hasn't had it there a lot this year. You know, the puck just seemed to follow him around a bit.
He had good puck touches.
There you go.
Indeed, he did. Should we listen to the coach? Do you have a thought on it? Or?
Yeah, of course. But let's go to Craig Berube.
We have a couple different ones from Berube. So the one, we'll play clip two, which is right after the game last night. So clip two, please, Derek.
I think, you know, that's your leader, right? Led the way for me. Led the way with effort, competitiveness, just work.
And then this one's from after practice today in Toronto as well. Clip seven, please, Derek.
He grabbed a hold of the room, and, you know, it's not good enough what's going on here. And he went out and, you know, he talked and then he walked, you know, is really what it boils down to. He went out and he led the way with the work and the compete that was needed at the start of the game.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that he's talking about he competed.
He looked more like what we've been accustomed to seeing, especially in his big years, mm-hmm. that the focus, obviously, when people speak of him, and even Max, we'll get Max's comments on him. But it's around, first of all, he's competitive, hardworking, and it hasn't always been the case, at least from mm-hmm. my eyes, that... That's why Berube mentioned those two or three things. It's because maybe it hasn't been there all the time for him. And then it has caused us to go, okay, what's going on? Is he hurt? He's just not that guy who Craig just described moments ago.
Yeah, you know, he was very close to winning, I should say very close, but close enough to winning a Selke trophy. Did he get nominated for the Selke one year? You know, like, he was a real force in the D zone and winning pucks back and takeaways and all those, you know, those things. And so it is funny because you never want to accuse a player of not working hard when they might be hurt, when they might whatever. But
he was a nominee last year.
He was a nominee last year.
And scoring 70.
Yeah.
Was who's a finalist?
Last year it was Barkov, Matthews, and Staal. Barkov wins. The year before, it was Marner, Patrice Bergeron won in 2023, and Nico Hischier.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Both of them.
Yeah. Yep. So, like, you know, it's a big part of his game, getting pucks back, and we haven't seen it times where it's like he's on the other side of the body, right? We've seen him, I'm going to go to the wrong side and try to stick lift rather than the right side, and so it's, you know, never sure if it's effort or injury or what, but...
to me, I think we've talked a lot this year about his captaincy and how not a lot of things have been really different. And like all the different things that we've talked about, you know, like I don't think he's ever going to be really Mr. Rah-Rah. I don't see him behind the scenes, but like in his media availabilities and sort of his demeanor on the ice, doesn't necessarily feel like a rah-rah guy. But to me, last night actually seemed like the most leadery thing he's ever really done for the Leafs in terms of him being the captain, where you're in a tailspin. Your team has been playing awful. You've been quiet. There's been tons of question marks about you. And then you just go out there and, you, like, I mean, to use the cliche hockey term, absolutely set the tone right from the drop of the puck where he just took over the game. It's like the first real captain-y thing I can ever really see him doing, to be honest. And yeah, I mean, I wish it had to happen before March, or before St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
But I was surprised by it last night.
We also got a comment from Max Domi talking about Auston Matthews as captain. Let's have a listen.
He's the man, honestly. You know, he battles through. He's probably the hardest working guy I've ever played with in my whole career, and I've played with a lot of guys. So he's driving the bus for sure, and it's tough not to jump on board with a guy like that. As talented as he is, you see him, I mean, tracking back and turn pucks over and stripping guys and taking guys one on three down low and coming out with the puck somehow. Obviously, the goal scoring speaks for itself, but it's all the other stuff and how he handles himself in here. Like I said, he's driving the bus, and I've said it from day one. He's my favorite player to watch, favorite player to play with, and best player in the world. So love him to death, and he's doing a great job.
Now, that's just a good teammate right there. Right?
I was going to say, who loves – Craig Berube love Shen more, or does he love Auston Matthews more?
That's a guy who's trying to build up Auston, and he hasn't been driving the bus, and he hasn't always looked like he's the hardest working guy. I think – especially if you go back last summer with the decision to strip John Tavares from his captaincy and give it to him, they have wanted and pushed for Auston to go to the next level. And up until last night, that hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. No signs of Auston now taking over and truly being the face of this team. It hasn't happened yet. And good on Max for telling people how good he can be and how great he can potentially drive a bus, but it hasn't happened this year. Mm-hmm. And you got 15 more games to go. Maybe starting last night, that is the start now of Auston being the guy that Craig Berube and Max Domi just described. But up until going into last night, zero signs that this guy is the face and the engine behind this hockey club.
Yeah, listen, we fundamentally in the past, like, you and I disagree about what Matthews is. That's just we've established that over the years.
What is he?
Well, I mean, last year he scored 69 and was nominated for the Selke. To me, he's, if not the best player in the world, and he's not Connor McDavid, then he's in that top three. He's one of the guys who controls the game and fundamentally changes the hockey game when he's out there. And this year, I totally see it with you. He hasn't been that this year. And so I've been trying to put a finger on why. And that part has been a big challenge because we don't know and they don't tell us anything. And you sit here and talk about it every day. And it's like, you know, the guy who is still, I think, 1.2 points per game. I don't know what he is exactly, but statistically still having a good year is not the same. And so it's hard to be critical, but, you know, in terms of looking for him to be the guy, it's hard in a year where he went to Germany. He sat out 9 games. Like, something's up. Right?
And we've given him you respect the benefit of the doubt. Everybody has. And does last night now put an end to, he's hurting, he's not 100%, something's going on? Can we stop that narrative for the next 15 games?
I see. I'm, you know, the whole, he's not as good as things are not as good as you think they are, or as bad as you think they are. I think the Flames kind of stunk it up last night.
Yeah.
And I think the puck fell to Matthews a couple times in good spots.
It has, but what we witnessed last night was common to the 69 goal season, where it's like, it's on his stick, it's gone. Like, it's no hesitation, no.
Yeah, but Kip on the power play, he didn't hit any of those one timers that fell to him over there, and I was like, why doesn't he shoot it?
I mean, the second one, he kind of fanned on it too. And it tricked
the short
five hole one on Wolf.
Oh,
I thought he got a lot of it. It was not the A shot, I wouldn't say. If you want to watch it again, like, the first one's a nice shot. It's still, I think you're still going to see signs of him not being perfect. Mm-hmm. But just the encouraging thing for me, and you talking about him not really taking it over all year, is totally fair. Like, it's been a constant conversation. And for him last night, regardless of competition, just to go out there and seem like the leader is hugely encouraging.
Outside of shooting in the net, I saw more spring. I saw more pop.
Okay.
I saw more energy from him.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. You know, I feel like it's been a lot for him this year. You know, you start with the captaincy, and you start with injuries, and you start with this overseas stuff, and he never quite finds it, and he sits out, and he's struggling. The stats are down. You know, then they go into the Four Nations, and he's kind of the guy in that final game where you feel like it's him or nobody for a while. You know, then they're right into it. Just has felt like a lot in total.
I don't disagree with anything you just said.
And now I wonder, okay, it's after the trade deadline. You know, they're off this whole road trip. Can things settle in? He's got some spring in his step. They've been tired. Can we find a spot here where they're just themselves again?
Wear green every night?
Can they wear green every night?
Regardless of Calgary being bad or running out of gas, like, this should be able to kind of take them into a very challenging game Wednesday night with, he should feel as good going into Wednesday night versus Nate MacKinnon as he's felt all season long.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, listen, you know, I say he's one of these, like, top few guys in the world. Him at his best just looks different than MacKinnon at his best and McDavid at his best. No one can do what they do. They are top speed, pull the speed of the game behind them. There's a wake behind them of bodies.
There's violence to both those guys.
Right. Speed. And it's not, Matthews has never been that. He's a different sort of heavy.
I've seen him drag guys on his back going to the net.
I have. Yeah, yeah. No, he can with his strength.
He can.
But he's not
McKinnon. He can drag a wake.
Yes.
He can.
Okay, it's a different type, right?
It's a different type. Yeah.
It's a more forceful, but less speedy.
More forceful, less fast twitch.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, you're not going to watch that game and go, that guy's as good as that guy. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, McKinnon's a freak.
I think for fans, for sure, like, there was a real dread to a lot of these games, watching these games, looking ahead to these games that over the past few weeks have just looked so similar, and they've, you know, you've just been kind of worried about going into it, like, what are we going to see tonight? At least last night breaks up the monotony of that and gives you a little bit of excitement going into the Wednesday night, being like, okay, maybe we're back, and they might not be, like, they may get starched on Wednesday, but at least fans have a little bit of hope going into it.
Colorado's beating everywhere.
They're so good
right now.
Even on the power play, like, there's sometimes when he's drifting off the post between the bottom of the circle, if you're the goalie facing it, and sometimes he gets too lost over there for me. And then the five-hole second power play goal, where he's in the slot and actually Nyes is below the goal line, that to me was maybe one of the first power play goals. I'm like, hey, I've seen Tampa do that, and I've seen Florida do that with Reinhart. What I haven't seen is that type of bang, bang, bang play out of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I like Matthews standing there. I don't like him getting lost on the far blue line, you know, waiting for the one-timer.
Last night, great point, because last night was the first time I felt like on the power play, the guys were all over the place. At one point, Matthews and Marner switch, and Matthews came up to the top, and Marner was on the flank, and it didn't quite work, but they were trying to get to different spots. You know, they weren't as rigid in their where they are, you know, and Marner's able to make his reads, gets it over to Nylander for a great one-timer. Like, there was more movement on the power play.
Sometimes I'm
three for three.
Even last night,
nice
I, Even last night, sometimes I'm looking at Knies and Tavares, and they're almost standing beside each other in the top of the blue line, and I'm like,
redundant?
No good.
Yeah.
Just might as well be wearing one jersey.
Yeah.
And it's not, there's no movement in that.
It stinks, I think.
It's getting to the pucks and hoping that you get a bounce and a rebound.
And it's like they don't want to hurt anyone's feelings because obviously those guys are good enough to be there, but it's like if they are redundant, like, I love McMahon's shot from the bumper. Like, I feel like he might be a little something different that could play higher up in the slot for them, but not going to critique the power play tonight. They go 3 for 3.
Yeah.
Lots of looks.
It had some good looks there, especially that goal I just mentioned.
Why don't we...
I was just going to say, that's Matthew's third multi-goal game all year.
Last year he had five
hat tricks.
Honest to God, last night before the game, I was like, has he had no hat tricks?
Zero hat tricks.
That's bizarre. All right, let's listen to clip 6 from Craig Berube on the power play.
You know, the biggest key for me was the resets to the top, you know, not forcing it through the seams, not forcing it. You know, it's clogged up there, but we moved it around. We were patient, moved it around, and then we attacked when we could, shot it, and, you know, we capitalized on some plays. But just the resets up top, you know, that's very important.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think we've gotten to the point now where we've all gotten past the fact that it's 5 forwards, where it's like that used to be like, oh, it's not, but it's just always going to be 5 forwards.
Yeah.
And Marner's the best option they have at the top. He's the best distributor.
He took a run at a loose puck in the neutral zone that if he didn't get to,
it was a 2-on-1.
Yeah, and he made a great play to get there.
That was
a dicey
very,
read.
Very, very close.
Yeah.
Like elite read.
He has a knack, eh?
He does.
His timing back there to break up a 2-on-1 or get some sort of stick on puck is like phenomenal.
Knack is a perfect word.
If it's a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-1 or a near 2-on-0 and you can give me Riley or Marner defending it, I don't know who I pick. I honestly don't know who I pick. Like, is this going to be the power play goal?
God, those jerseys look good on ice.
They do. They look really sharp. So yeah, Matthews gets himself to the bumper spot down low, one touch.
Kaboom.
But yeah, I think that Marner is as good as Morgan Riley.
That is one of the worst PK teams in the league, too. Are they not?
Well, from the looks of that.
They were not even like...
I don't need to look at the stats close. And tell you. It was not pretty last night.
No. They are as bad on the PK as they appear.
They're 27th in the NHL.
Oh.
Nice. Can they play the Flames in the first round? That'd be great.
I don't think that's an option.
Penalties seem to be a bit of an issue the last little while. Bad penalties.
What happened to Robertson there on that one?
I don't know.
Can't shoot.
Did we hear post game?
Yes. Clip 5, Berube, please.
Yeah, it's, you know, we got to be more disciplined. You know, it's just, that's the bottom line. You know, can't shoot a puck after a whistle. He said he never heard a whistle, but I mean, I heard it. And you know, you got to be aware of your stick. I mean, it's just, we can't take those penalties.
But and Chiefs this close to getting Daryl Sittler hearing aids. Okay. And he heard it.
And that's the most, like, you're lying to me. You heard it. Like, the coach is just not believing your I didn't hear it story.
And after he took the high stick, you know, as far away as possible from his own net, and they flashed to Berube on the bench, and he just, like, did this, like, brow wipe and went down to the... He was so incensed.
So he's so mad. It's a guy he regularly scratches, or does scratch sometimes.
Yeah.
And he still sits him out for one rotation. It's like that is... He doesn't bench anybody.
No.
If you're not... I understand that he
all year
came out and scored, but that was, like, the guy you would have done it to.
Couldn't believe he got another shift. Couldn't believe it.
He sat one rotation. And then he went out and scored. So credit to Berube, and maybe, I don't know.
It's got to pay off for Craig Berube, all this loyalty, you know?
I mean, all these guys are going to retire and go, I love playing for him. Yeah. I can do whatever I want.
Except Kyrie.
Can't put me out there. Oh, yeah.
Kyrie won't say that.
Kyrie didn't enjoy it.
I love that player. I love the guy.
What else do we want to talk about?
We got the Robertson Domi McMahon line who...
Oh, yeah.
Were... I mean, I am frustrated because... Not a playoff line for me. Just not a playoff line. And they play well together all the time. And so I'm going to have to just say I'm wrong. And
They play well against bad teams.
Mark my words. They will not be an effective line against the Florida Panthers or the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I don't love that line head-to-head with Nick Paul.
Chance.
I don't know where you go. Like, we're out of ideas.
Why you look so scared over there?
Give me alternatives. Give me something else.
Maybe a heavier line that you don't, at least if they don't score, they can give you some matchup minutes or something.
They went
Holmberg, Lawton, Yarncroft.
One game.
I don't know.
Taking the big boys and spreading them out. Three lines, one game.
Not even close to a game. 5 minutes of ice time total. Yeah.
And this is
what it's going to be.
What it's going to be.
You are telling me they're going to go McMahon, Domi, Robertson round one.
Lawton starting the fourth line. No David Camp.
No chance. So I don't know how they'll.
I think you need Camp back in there.
Camp's got to be in there. I will say Holmberg has changed my feeling about him.
He's big.
He's big. And he's making some plays lately, and he's drawing penalties, and he's kind of in people's faces.
Transports
loved him
the
getting
puck.
Punched in the face last night. That was great.
It's still a challenge getting pucks to the net, though.
He can pass it, he can't shoot it.
Even last night.
Yeah.
Like,
he can't shoot. Or doesn't shoot.
So, I don't know what the score was halfway through the game. Maybe 3-1. Maybe 4-1. But, like, they went over 30 minutes with 10 shots on goal. And I get it. They might have been up in there.
But
you're still a team kind of starving for pucks to the net and offense. And there's guys that want to get going. And McMahon scored after a lot of games that he didn't score. And
that's the one you needed.
There's a few others that could use a cookie.
Yeah.
But 10 shots on goal in 30 minutes with Calgary last night. 60 minutes, push. Yeah. It's still a challenge.
All right. We should listen to Berube on the Robertson, Domi, McMahon line to
your
assess
favorite
if
line.
He's going to use them.
Clip 4.
Well, you get a little combination of everything there, but you got some real speed on the wings, right? And, you know, Robbie finishes. You know, he finished tonight. Max made some plays. But the line for me tonight was, they had the hound mentality in them. I thought that they all were skating, working in the face of the other team, didn't give them time and space, and that was a key for their line tonight, in my opinion.
Yeah, and we're seeing the best of Max Domi.
Yes,
okay? This is what you signed.
Seven or eight points in his last 12 games, he's been good.
This is the guy that you had can move him up or down the lineup.
Yeah,
but his energy is as good as we've seen as a Maple Leaf in the last week.
Absolutely.
Looked it up last year around this time. I think from the start of March until the end of the season, in 21 games, I think he had 17 or 18 points.
Hot, and they played him with Matthews.
He heated up towards the end of the year, and I think he had 4 points in the first round, a goal and 3 assists in the first round. So, I mean, nobody scored at all in that first round, so that's pretty good for him. So you're kind of hoping that maybe he's the type of guy at this time of year really starts to get engaged. And, you know, you think about the Florida game where he scores, he beats the crap out of Schmidt, he hammers Verhaeghe. Great again last night. Pretty good Saturday night. You hope that he flips the switch. You just don't think it.
You know, a couple of the things that went right for Domi are what worries about me. Like the sauce he throws out to Robertson from behind the net through nine people that land.
Every once in a while, there's the hopers.
That gets through in that game. Yeah. And most of the time it doesn't.
Skips off a stick, 2-on-1 the other way.
You know, like, I don't like the play, but you can't sit here today and be like, bad play. It's a great play. But if I'm a coach, I'm like, we don't want to be making those.
That low angle of that pass.
I know that lands.
Over, like, the two sticks right in the sweet spot. It's like, God, what a pass.
Such a good pass.
Nyes was guilty of a horrific turnover
on the goal against.
Against Rasmus Anderson, where it's
Huberto,
like,
great play.
Turn your back, can't see the back pressure. Next thing you know, 1-1 after a period that you could have been up 3-0.
Yeah.
Right? So, few things to clean up, and Max isn't the only one.
No, and he was excellent last night, and I love the pursuit. I think Nick Robertson can play. You put him in the lineup, and he doesn't bother me at all. He can play.
You still have hope there's a Max Pacioretty.
Did he go to
rebirth?
Like Robidoux Island? Like, this guy was like a fixture in the lineup, and then everyone's like, "Yeah, his back's a little sore." And now he's just
if he can just physically feel good,
yeah.
Like, maybe a couple of hits in the first round might be enough to
heavy great shot right? can hit.
Like he's already showed me 12 minutes over 40 games. Unfortunately, the body broke down on him.
Yeah,
but I don't know if he can just hang around.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm asking about before the show. Yeah. Is his body broke down? Did it? Did we? What did we hear on this?
He
just went away.
The first like practice back from the Four Nations when we were like still in the middle of Four Nations. It's like it didn't happen. But he's like, something happened.
Well,
he's gone.
Step on a landmine.
He's gone.
Can we?
No, I think the body broke down.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know. He's with Dr. Goldman, $6 million man. He's getting rebuilt
just
right
like
now.
Soldering his hips.
They flashed
on
him. He's just full body.
The guy from Office Space got hit by a car.
We can rebuild him.
Well,
but he's practice. He's before practice. He's out there with old Yanni Hawkenpaw. They're out there before practice.
He lives.
He's wearing hockey equipment.
Hawkenpaw's Max Scherzer's brother, apparently.
Oh, please.
All right.
Please. Come on, Borny.
Sorry, bud.
All right, let's take a quick break.
Yeah, we'll get Luke after the break down there covering the game last night.
You heard, Sammy. Luke Fox, Leafs and NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. More Leaf talk when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. You good, Sammy?
All good, brother.
Good, JB?
All good.
Okay, let's welcome in Luke Fox. Leafs and NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. Luke, your finger's off the panic button, right?
Yes.
Or is it Sammy's? Which one?
Oh, I don't know about Sammy. I can't keep track of his emotions.
Little, over the map. A little bit of an exhale after last night's game.
Yeah.
Is that the sense you got leaving?
For sure. There was a lot of relief in that dressing room talking to the guys. I think Max Domi put it best. He basically said, we knew we needed that one. And it certainly felt like that. It felt like an unusually big game for a Monday against a non-conference opponent. Just because, the losses were piling up, but also aesthetically, they looked pretty awful for a good couple weeks now. They were getting some points on shootouts in overtime, and they were kind of just scraping by. But that was their most emphatic win, I would say, in 2 months, dating back to when they went in the Bell Center. But even in that one, they had to dig themselves out of a hole, and then they came back and walloped the Canadiens. That was probably the last time where a victory felt that decisive for the Leafs. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important that not only did they get the 2 points, and of course that matters, you're looking at the standings and it's so tight there between those teams, but I think they needed a decisive victory, enough of these, barely getting by type wins. So the mood around the group has changed. I think they were at their lowest, their angriest. I think they knew they had better. And I thought Austin Matthews was the best player on the ice. And we probably haven't been able to say that enough this season.
Absolutely agree. In the first hour, there was one topic we didn't get to, which was goaltending. And not because it was all that impactful in the game last night, but rather we are now inside of a month till playoffs. And all year long, we're going, okay, game one, who's it going to be? And it kind of felt like they tried to give it to Stolarz, but he had a couple of mediocre performances. Where are we at on the goalie watch for playoffs?
I think Stolarz still has the edge, but I don't think it's as wide of a gap. So Joseph Woll, I don't think he's been standing on his head, but he has won his last two games, and Stolarz has lost the last two. The counter argument to that would be that Craig Berube has given the harder opponents to Stolarz. And I would imagine he'll get the net again against the Colorado Avalanche. So how does he look? Can he rebound and have a strong performance against those guys? I think they're leaning towards him because they have been giving him the quote-unquote marquee matchups. But I thought Joseph Woll was solid. I think he was a little shaky to start, but he settled in. He wasn't overly tested. Like, let's be honest, guys. That's the 32nd ranked offense in the whole NHL. The Calgary Flames weren't pressuring him that much, but he got the job done under a pressure-filled night. Like, they needed a win. He was solid enough. He got the job done. So I think we still have whatever it is, 15 games or so, to see this race play out. It is important to note that Craig Berube announced a while ago that he does want one guy. I don't think he wants to rotate right through the playoffs. He wants one guy to grab it and probably start game one and game two, and we'll see who that is.
You're watching and listening to Luke Fox, NHL writer covering the Leafs for Sportsnet.ca. So, Luke, speaking of potentially a rotation here, we've seen various looks of a third line. Last night, we saw Robertson, Domi, and McMahon. Everything points into the direction that it was a huge building block for them. The way Max Domi's playing right now, Lawton, where does he fit in on a third line? And then ultimately, David Kampf. Where do you sense the bottom six moving towards ever so closely to the first round?
Yeah, it is fascinating, Nick, because like, who would have had David Kampf out of the lineup? I thought this team needed more centers, not fewer centers. And all of a sudden, you know, you win and you probably keep a winning lineup. According to line rushes today, David Kampf is still on the outside. I just find it hard to wrap my head around David Kampf not being in the lineup game one of the playoffs, just because I think they need his defensive prowess. I think Nick Robertson, great on him for scoring a goal, but I think he's still very much on the bubble of this lineup when it comes to the playoffs, just because, you know, you're not going to play the Calgary Flames in round one. You're going to play a big, heavy team. It could be Tampa. It could be Florida. He hasn't exactly thrived in those environments. I think he's working his butt off, and he's improved as a two-way player. He's improved in terms of giving you a little something in terms of energy on nights he doesn't score, but he's very much on the brink. I find Lawton really interesting. So he's played five games, and three of them he doesn't even have a shot. He's a minus player so far. He hasn't had a point as a Leaf. He's really struggling to find his footing. I felt bad for him in garbage time there. The goal clicks off his skate, goes in past Wohl. He's fighting it, and you can tell, like, the guy is wearing it a little bit. He wants to make an impact. He realizes that the team gave up a first-rounder plus a half-decent prospect and Grabankum to get him. Local guy, tried to fight the other night. He wants to make an impact. You don't give up that much and not have him in the lineup. So it is kind of interesting that there is an internal battle going here. But as long as that line of Robertson, Domi, and McMahon is giving you something offensively, I don't see a reason to stray from it. But Lawton has yet to find his fit. That's to be sure.
Mic's off. It does feel like there's still some soul searching to be done. By soul searching, I mean line searching, like trying to figure out how to get these guys all put together as they head towards playoffs. It's a tight race now. 2 points back of Florida with a game in hand. Tampa's just in the same spot there. Do you place much weight on the value of home ice? Like, you know, I would love to see them win the division, as would you guys, I'm sure, in terms of their chances. But if they get stuck in that 2-3 series, does that matter?
I think it does, and maybe less about having home ice as playing strong and feeling good about yourselves going into the playoffs. I'm sure you guys remember like the way the season ended last year. They limped in, guys. Like, it was all about Matthew's 70 goal chase. Willie was chasing a career high in points. They didn't have their game together. They looked scattered. They were doing some load management. A lot of the lines weren't clicking. And what do you know, they dug themselves a hole in the Boston series. And by the time they turned it around and started playing their best hockey in that series, it was too late. Boston had built the lead. They were coming from behind. I think it has less to do with what building it takes place in, because I actually think sometimes at home they get a little nervous and a little panicky in the playoffs, and more about you want to be playing your best hockey. And this was a team that was leading the division for the bulk of, you know, 2025, and they've let it slip. So I think if they're piling wins and coming in with some momentum, that would serve them well. I don't think this team can flip a switch overnight.
As far as Wednesday night, right back at a team right now that everybody thinks can contend for a Stanley Cup. We saw some major, major trades to reinforce the Colorado Avalanche. Good time to play them very next game, or do we get a sense that they would have liked a couple of more to kind of rebuild coming off of the Calgary game? What are your thoughts?
I think it's a great time. I think, you know, they've just got slapped around by a bunch of real contenders like the Avalanche, you know, a couple weeks back, like Florida, who came into their own barn. Now it would have a much different feeling had they lost last night against Calgary, but they got a win under their belts. Let's show the world that we can hang with the real contenders. That would be my message if I was Craig Berube to the guys. Mm-hmm. You know, you got home ice, you got a win, you're feeling good about yourselves, you got, you know, a practice day in, you're sleeping in your own beds. Like, let's show up against the real team and see what you got. Because their last few quote-unquote measuring stick games, they've come up a little too short. So I think this will tell us a lot about where the team is at.
For sure. One of the things that, you know, you mentioned Lawton is one of their new additions we haven't touched on much is Brandon Carlo. I think by some of the fancy stats, like expected goals and shot attempts and stuff, he's like the best among the Leafs D, and has been controlling the play while playing with Riley, which he hasn't had a ton of success with a partner so far. Have you liked his start as a Maple Leaf?
100%. Yeah. There was I think the first game in Colorado, that their attack is so fast, guys, and they're such a good passing team that, you know, I think it was a lot for him to handle. And there was a couple shifts early on. I think he started his Leafs career a dash two, you know, before he could blink. But I think he's really settled in. I think he's been unnoticeable a lot of times, which is fantastic. That means he's not giving it away. He's making pretty clean exits. And I actually had a chance to talk to Joseph Woll a little bit about his first impressions. And he's like, he's the exact kind of defenseman I love because he's quiet. He just gets the puck away. I don't have to worry about it. It's just, you know, he clears the front of the net, does simple plays. And I think one of the reasons that he was attractive is just his length, right? He gets in the way. He's got a long stick. He can break up passes. You know, the penalty kill went 4-for-4 last night. They were perfect, kind of an undersold part of that victory because of the goal of Palooza that went on at the other end. But the PK was fantastic, and they need a guy like him. And, you know, the fact that Tanev's healthy again, you have two guys that are just pure defensemen. You know, throw Jacob McCabe in there as well. But two guys that's all they care about is just preventing goals from going in the net. He's got experience. He's got a ton of playoff experience because the Bruins have won a bunch of rounds in his tenure. So I think it was a really smart pickup.
So if those three guys, all they care about is defense, who's going to help put the puck in the net? When you look at Morgan Riley, there were some signs that he was starting to come out of it. Does he need a game against Colorado like Austin needed a game against Calgary last night?
Yeah, if you're going to pick one guy, it's probably him, Nick. Like, and the funny thing is, he's going to be staring across the red line and there's Cale Makar capable of throwing down 6 points. So, you know, he's not on that level, but they do need more offense from him. And he should feel more free to get up into the play because Carlo was his partner now, because he has that safety net, because he's always thrived when it's that type of profile player, be it Ron Hainsey, Luke Shen. That's when Morgan Riley's been at his best. And Craig Berube, you know, gave him a gentle call out yesterday morning. You know, someone asked about Riley's game, and he's like, well, you know, he was going pretty good there before the Four Nations, but much like our team, he's kind of dipped a little bit. The pressure's on here. The good news is that history would tell us, a little like we're seeing with Max Domi, is that Riley does tend to bring his game up, elevate when it matters most. There hasn't been very many long stretches this season. He's struggled. But now that he knows he has one partner, they're sticking with it. They're not throwing a different guy on his right side every other night. I think that should give him the security you know, have a bit of an offensive breakout. They need it, and I think he needs it for his confidence too.
All right, Luke, get a good rest. You're right back at it tomorrow night, man. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, anytime, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks, Luke.
Luke Fox.
Yeah.
We just watched on the weekend Dallas and Colorado, McCarr scoring in overtime.
Yeah.
That'll be a heck of a series, but as good as Dallas is, as deep as they are, mm-hmm. like, there's no one in the lineup that can do McKinnon or McCarr stuff.
No.
Is there two teammates in the league that can do that?
No, but that's one of those things. It's like every time you go up against a team or that team, they got the best guys.
Yeah. They have the two best players on the ice every time.
I can't think of a bigger challenge for the Toronto Maple Leafs coming up tomorrow night.
It's actually
than this team at this moment right now, where they're starting to really warm up with the likes of Brock Nelson in the lineup, mm-hmm. and this Nikushkin.
They don't lose it.
This guy is really the guy that completely changes Colorado's look and feel. He is a mule.
Yes. So
I see somewhere they're 13-0-1 with him in the lineup or something?
Yeah, that
does sound right.
Going back to February 26th, I just want to go through the Avalanche schedule and their goal, the games they've been in. They won by 4. They won by 3. They won by 3. They won by 4. They won by 3. They won by 3. They lost in a shootout. They won by 2. They won by 1. So, like, when's the Leafs pummeled the Flames last night, whatever, by 4 goals. They can't have many wins by more than a goal or two. Every game they're in is a nail biter down to the end. Like, the Avs are finishing teams off by the second period. Since around the deadline.
Yeesh.
You know? And then they got Nelson going now and could get Landeskog back, potentially.
There is a very real possibility that the Leafs lose tomorrow night, but could somehow still look good and feel good moving forward.
Keep in mind, that game they lost to Colorado, they lost 5-4. It was 7-4 with two empty netters at the end, but it's a 5-4 game. You know,
that one wasn't close for me.
No, I agree. The score
nice
was
try,
close.
Though.
Then,
yeah. Nice try.
But, like, you look at their top two lines here in their last 10 games, right, for Colorado, Lehkonen, McKinnon, and Natchez. 8 points in the last 10 for Lehkonen, 16 for McKinnon, 9 for Natchez. Drouin has 7 in his last 10. Brock Nelson has 9 points in his last 10 games. Nikushkin, 9 points in his last 10 games.
Yeah.
Like, their forwards are just lighting it up. And that doesn't even say McCarr has 15 points in his last 10 games. Taves, 6 points in his last 10. Like, they just are shooting it in constantly.
Yeah, good luck.
And my biggest beef for the Leafs the last 2-3 weeks is just not playing fast enough, not making decisive, quick, confident decisions. And hopefully that started last night. But if you don't have that feel and that look against this team tomorrow night, it will be long.
It's so funny, though, like the way people use the term play fast and the way coaches use it is so different. Like, when Craig Berube says we've been playing too slow, he means they've been making plays, like hanging onto the puck and curling back and whatever. Play fast means just touching off the boards and go. He means that way.
Or even if you have it on your stick longer than a split second, move your feet.
Move your feet. That's the only thing I do as a coach at house hockey.
Don't put them in cement.
As soon as you touch the puck, move your feet.
Boots. And then look for a 60-foot pass that gets redirected and it's right back in your zone.
Yes. Agree.
I've seen that 50 times in the last 10 games.
There is no point in a hockey game in which you should be standing still with the puck unless you're parked behind your net or you're in some sort of regroup while people change. Otherwise, move your feet up ice and look for the plays. Take the ice that's given to you while it's available.
Tell that to my beer league team.
Move your feet.
Lot of feet.
By the way,
move.
That's my Scott Lawton advice so far, too.
Move your feet.
Keep it moving.
You think he's too slow?
No, right I think he's been
playing
hesitant.
Slow. He's playing slow?
Yes.
There you go. Okay. All right. Catch your breath. Still got an hour to go as we go national with Steve Aliquette for his Tuesday analysis. It's going to be a lot of fun. This guy is a staple here on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show, and we've got him up next. Don't go away.